brings us to the subjects that we must cover in the next few lectures. And what we discover is that there are two great issues we must come to grips with before you can safely look at the details of the Apostolic Reformation. When we do start to look into the detail of the Apostolic Reformation, we will start to look at what an apostle is and is not, what authority they have and do not have, what's the nature of an apostle, what's the grace given to an apostle. And that's just one area. We'll look at apostolic covering, and we'll look at the outworking of apostolic life in God's people, the church in the city as being one people, one church with a common leadership, city eldership. There are many aspects. How the personal relationships work, father-son relationship in the ministry, what it means by the grace of God for the people of God to be of one heart, one mind. There are many outworkings of apostolic grace. But all this detail, unfortunately, would run ultimately back into tradition and simply religious system if we did not come to grips with a couple of issues that we must sort out in our minds and our hearts as prior issues. One of these I've been speaking a lot about lately, but the truth is I speak about it wherever I go all over the world. For years I've been traveling all over the world, and everywhere I go, aside from anything else I teach, I make a very big point of trying to explain what it means to be an apostolic people. And when you properly define that, all its implications for relationships amongst the people of God. And so one of the two really big things we must come to grips with is what it means to be relational and how that determines or directs the life of the church. What it means to be apostolic, rather, I meant to say, and how relational that teaches us Christianity is. We must come to grips with a proper biblical definition of the term, because there's too much false use of the word in the world. But if we run with assumption on the meaning of the word, we will simply end up with more religion and not real apostolic Christianity. So that's one of the big issues. But the other one is this: what is the future of the church and the direction of the church? We've talked a little bit last week about the last 500 years and the last 50. But we said we would discuss now where it goes from this point. What is ahead of us? What will it look like? And I want to give you, for a little while, the big picture now of what is coming, where we're at the moment, and what is coming just ahead of us. What is God's purpose in Christ for the church and for the nations? And so we begin with that tonight. And here is what you can expect in the next 100 years. In general, you can expect the full restoration of the fivefold ministry. I should explain, I'll come back to it in a moment. We haven't seen the restoration of the fivefold ministry yet, only the beginnings of that. Secondly, we should expect to see the restoration of the unity of the church in the city or the church in the region. So instead of Christianity being largely broken into little camps, in institutionalized camps, we should see a tremendous change taking place in which the institutional nature of Christianity slips away one way or another. The Holy Spirit is doing this work and develops the church as a truly relational people, but those relationships will go right across cities and regions. It's relationships of the heart we're talking about. And we're talking about, ultimately, the development of a common leadership for the church in any given region, what we would call the city eldership, the New Testament form of eldership. So there are a few of the big pictures, but let me now deal with some of the detail. We have not yet seen, really, the restoration of apostles. Even though we say that prophets were restored in the 1980s and apostles in the 1990s, really we did not see the restoration of apostles proper. We saw the beginnings of it by all means, But with that 50-year period of what's called the restoration of the fivefold ministry, what was restored were ideas concerning these things, the notion of these things, if you like. But the full facility of those functions has not yet been restored. And this should be the more obvious if we consider apostles and prophets, for example. We have a lot of people today in the world in apostolic ministry and prophetic ministry, but it's anywhere near yet, the full-blown nature and power of what that will ultimately be. And if we think about the apostolic ministry in particular, even though the idea of apostles has been restored, and even though we have many people in the world now claiming to be apostles, and by the way, many of these are not apostles, and we not to think about that especially negatively. The point is that a great change is coming upon the body of Christ. It's suddenly the idea on everybody's mind. And so anybody very successful in ministry, anybody with an anointing, anybody with the grace to build a bigger ministry or to have a bigger influence has automatically been seen, oh, you must be an apostle. But that does not actually follow. And the truth is, the church needs really, really great pastors. And pastors are well able to have worldwide influence, to build huge ministries, to gather large numbers of people. Now, pastors will be under apostolic covering. They'll walk with apostles. They'll relate to apostles. But the church is meant to have very powerful, very effective pastors. And some of the largest ministries that will develop in the world will be led by pastors, not apostles. Apostles do not have to have large ministries. And it's a mistake to assume that if you have a larger ministry, you're an apostle. Or just because you're very gifted, you're an apostle. The same thing with teachers. The world is meant to have, the body of Christ is meant to have, and Christ will raise very, very effective teachers. Some of these will become household names. Their books will go across the world. They'll influence nations, but they'll do it as teachers, not apostles. If you want a really good example from the last century, C.S. Lewis, who was not even a church leader as such, and yet probably had more influence on the church as a teacher in that 100 years than any other man. We will see more examples like that. And so we're meant to have great pastors, great teachers, and the same is true of evangelists and of prophets. There's nothing to stop any of these being gifted, called of God, positioned so that they have very extensive ministries that reach regions, reach nations, reach internationally. They write books. They bring a great blessing, a great influence, but they are not apostles. And unless someone is very specifically called and appointed by Christ to a specific apostolic role and given an apostolic authority, they're not apostles. Apostles have a very specific role in the church and relationship to the church. And when you put people in place who are not apostles but call them apostles, something goes wrong. It doesn't produce the life that it's meant to produce. Apostles at the same time will face a great deal of death and struggle and soul searching, and there'll be years and years of not being influential at all. In fact, the Lord will purposely make them inconsequential for long periods and put them in places of insignificance, and all this is very, very important in the development of apostles.